Hey, welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett, S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T. A federal judge has given a salvage company permission to cut open the hull of the Titanic in order to retrieve the ship's famed Marconi wireless telegraph machine. According to court documents, the telegraph, sometimes called the voice of the Titanic, is notorious for sending out the ship's final distress messages. On the night of April 14 and 15, 1912, after the ship hit an iceberg in the North Atlantic and started to sink, ultimately killing some 1,500 people, the equipment sits within three adjoining rooms known as the Marconi Suite, located on the ship's topmost deck, and has long intrigued salvagers at RMS Titanic, Inc., a for-profit company that won rights to salvage the Titanic and exhibit its artifacts in 1994. And you can read the rest of the story in the news section up at coasttocoastam.com. Back with more of my conversation with William F. Mann as we discuss Albert Pike and the Knights Templar right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. William F. Mann stays with us, the author of The Last Refuge of the Knights Templar, The Ultimate Secret of the Pike Letters. I wanted to ask you very quickly about the Ghent altarpiece. This is a famous, I believe it's a Belgian painting during the Renaissance. It was painted, and it is said that, it was stolen, I think, during the Second World War by the Nazis, and perhaps they thought that it contained clues to the location of the Templar treasure. Is that true?
Yes, that's an interesting story in itself. As we know, the Nazis during the Second World War and just prior to that conducted a whole series of archaeological digs and worldwide investigations. Underlying all the other things that they were looking for was this notion that they were looking for the ultimate Templar treasure.
And people who may have seen the movie The Monument Men, this was about Allied soldiers, and their task was to recover a lot of this missing art. I think it's the center panel or one of the panels of the Ghent altarpiece painting is missing to this day. Do you think that it does contain clues to the location of the Templar treasure?
Absolutely. I think that over time, it's interesting. A number of Renaissance artists and artists associated with the French royalty and Vatican embedded clues. Not one person knew the total secret, but embedded clues that were discovered or rediscovered over various centuries within their art, and to the point that two pieces, one by Nicolas Poussin and one by David Teniers the Younger, were much sought after. They were high Renaissance paintings of the 1600s, and the notion was that those two paintings contained clues, a level of knowledge associated with where the Templar treasure was located in North America.
And why was Hitler so fascinated? Or was it Hitler or was it Himmler?
It was Himmler. Himmler was fascinated by the whole notion of the chivalric Knights Templar associated with the Crusades itself. But he wanted to emulate the SS based on, in part, on the Knights Templar and the Order. Of course, it was being seen as a secret order, but Himmler was very much fascinated with Knights Templar and the Teutonic Knights.
Did Himmler believe that the treasure, the Templar treasure, may have contained artifacts which would give him or the Fourth Reich special powers?
That's part of the clues. The understanding that what lies as part of the Templar treasure is not only knowledge and understanding, but the ability to apply that knowledge and understanding to the point that you can control the Earth's forces the forces of nature to the point that it becomes a most powerful weapon.
Did the Pike letters that you uncovered, the correspondence between Colonel MacLeod Moore and Albert Pike, did it spell out in pretty plain detail what exactly the Templar treasure is?
No, not at all. And people always ask me what the Templar treasure is, and I always say to them, take the 25 most common theories as to what the treasure is and take about 5% from each of those theories, and that's what you have as in terms of the what lies within the sacred vault.
But does it contain some, I don't know, like gold, silver, or is it strictly knowledge, or do you know?
No, I know. It contains a variety of things. It contains, obviously, priceless artifacts and relics from the first temple, the Temple of Solomon. It also contains documents from the Library of Alexandria. It contains documents or recordings from before the flood. Ancient knowledge. It contains geological records associated with the marriage of Jesus and Mary. Everybody thinks that, in accordance with the Da Vinci Code, that's the ultimate secret. But I always say to people, look beyond. Always look beyond. Don't get hung up in terms of you knowing, you thinking what you know to be the ultimate secret of the Templar treasure.
So what was the greatest threat to the Vatican or the Pope with this Templar treasure? Is it the knowledge? Did they know something that would undermine the authority of the Vatican?
Well, think about it. If you could prove that Jesus as a man was married to Mary Magdalene and that there existed a Holy Family where descendants exist to this day, then the need for the church, for the priest to provide that connection between yourself and God himself, there was really no need for the Vatican or the Holy Roman Catholic Church to continue.
But wouldn't the supposed lineage of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, which married into the or became the Merovingians, the Frankish kings, wouldn't that have also perhaps justified or vindicated some of the royal families, because they could say, there you see, we do have a divine right to rule. We are descended.
No, absolutely. But there's this whole question in terms of if you look at one of the most famous paintings of Napoleon being crowned as the Holy Roman Emperor, there's a notion that it was the church that was the conduit to heavens and God, and that they only had the right to crown the nobility as a Holy Roman Emperor or as a Holy Family. But yes, you're right. There's this schism between the church and specifically French nobility, in that they could lay claim to having that direct connection to the heavens itself.
So I just want to talk a little bit about the premise, this modern-day thriller that you've written, The Last Refuge of the Knights Templar, and again, it's a fiction, but it's based on the authentic historical letters between Albert Pike and Colonel MacLeod Moore. As you mentioned, it's encoded with Templar and Rosicrucian secrets. But tell me about the protagonists, Thomas and Janet, in this fictionalized account.
Well, Thomas and Janet are fictional heroes and heroine that I developed, and they're representatives of One is the innocence and naivety associated with Freemasonry in itself, but the other, Janet, is the, as you say, the antagonist. She is part of a holy family itself. It's the Rose family, and she provides that connection between modern society and the ancients. In that her family is derived from the Jewish high priests of the first century, those who directly hid the hid what is known as the Temple Treasure under the ruins of Solomon during and following the sacking of Jerusalem in 70 AD by the Romans.
And these are supposedly what, descendants of Pike or MacLeod Mor, or both, or
of MacLeod Mor, Thomas, the naive hero or the fool of the story, is really the fictional descendant of MacLeod Mor.
And did Albert Pike have children?
He did, but I didn't include because. In real life, MacLeod Mor family died out. His son was killed during the First World War. But Albert Pike, there are descendants of the Pike family that exist to this day, and I didn't feel it was appropriate to even insinuate that there's fictionalized characters associated with the Pike family.
And tell me about the people that are after Thomas and Janet and after these secrets that are in the Pike letters.
Well, very much in part you could attribute it to real life that there's modern-day Jesuits which act as the secret police, and one Jesuit in particular who is rather demented, but he's been tasked by the Vatican, by the secret police, the Jesuits themselves, to recover the Pike letters on behalf of the Vatican and the Pope himself.
Do you, in all seriousness, I mean, do you worry that there could be a Vatican hitman on your trail?
I do, but on the other hand, if I was to live my life worrying about all of that, there wouldn't be a day that would go by that I probably wouldn't be a little crazy. The way I've always approached this information is that to put it out there in the public realm, and whatever it divines or whatever it generates, I'll deal with it at the time. But I would think that the Vatican itself, if they felt that I really possess that secret knowledge, that they would come and appeal to me to provide that knowledge.
Do you plan on going looking for the treasure?
I already have, and I've determined I know exactly where the sacred vault is. The next question is, though, whether you should... reveal the exact location and to dig it up and to hopefully rediscover the Templar treasure that lies within the sacred vault. Or should you leave well enough alone, leave sleeping dogs lie, per se?
Can you say categorically here on the air that it is not at Oak Island?
I can say categorically it is not at Oak Island, and I'll give you a little clue as to why. The signs, seals, and tokens on the island, to any well-versed Freemason, it's obvious that the Templar treasure was a temporary repository for the treasure, but it's moved on. And this is where some of the treasure was collected as it moved into North America, across the Atlantic, and unfortunately, the two brothers from Michigan that are digging on Oak Island, they failed to realize that in the 1700s, all the French and British Army officers, the high-ranking officers, were Knights Templar themselves.
Well, that's interesting. So it was there temporarily.
Yes. that in essence you don't put money in the bank and forget how to retrieve it.
I interviewed a gentleman on Coast to Coast several months ago who wrote a book about Jesse James and the Templar treasure.
Yes.
What can you tell me about Jesse James' interest in the treasure?
Well, Jesse James, obviously, he was part of the Knights of the Golden Circle, and that there was this underground society or group of outlaws that were looking to reassemble in part the Templar treasure, but more directly physical gold and silver, to the point that they could refinance the rising again of the Confederacy following the Civil War.
If you were to find it, or when you find it, I'm guessing it would change everything, right? I mean, it would be monumental, not only the value, if we're talking about gold and various artifacts, but the knowledge itself. I mean, would it be safe to say it would overturn organized religion as we know it?
I would hope it would. For 2,000 years, the Vatican has controlled the dissemination of virtually all religious information, and portrayed themselves as the conduit to the heavens. The Knights Templar themselves believed that there was order in nature, and as such, that you could, as Albert Pike believed, that you could directly converse with God yourself without the church being the intermediary. And I would hope that as we move forward into the 21st century, that people would realize that you don't need a church. Think of the money spent over the last 2,000 years in support of the church versus in support of those who really require it. There should be the opportunity for everyone to discern a new religion, per se, to practice in accordance with the founding fathers, the objective of the founding fathers of America. Practice religion as you see fit.
This could be a tremendous, well, not could be, it would be a tremendous threat to organized religion. Are you sure you want to go there?
Well, that's the question. That's the question. If you look at the Da Vinci Code, when the Da Vinci Code came out, people said, oh my God, there existed a holy family. And in turn, the descendants of that holy family actually could lay claim to Jesus much more than organized religion.
Brian, William, I've got to take a time out. We'll pick this up on the other side, take some calls. Welcome back. What would humanity do in the face of an alien invasion? Imagine that the Earth falls under siege to an extraterrestrial threat. Would that be the stimulus that finally unites us all as a single species, that compels people to band together, combine resources, and advance with a unified motivation to conquer, or at least survive, the alien threat? An article in Psychology Today argues that COVID-19 is the closest thing to an ET invasion we're likely to ever face. And you can read more in the news section up at coasttocoastam.com. More of my conversation with William F. Mann and your phone calls as we discuss the lost treasure of the Knights Templar and Albert Pike right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett coming to you from my little studio beneath the stairs here in historic Old Thornhill, just north of Toronto. William F. Mann, my guest. And just a reminder, coming up at the after the top of the hour, demonologist Nathaniel Gillis will be here. All right, to the phones we go. East of the Rockies, Joe is in Long Island. Joe, welcome to Coast. Good morning.
Hi, William. Two quick questions. You mentioned the Da Vinci Code. How much did this angels and demons undergird their idea of what they were doing? And their geographic reach, What were they trying to do? Did they go as far as they wanted to go geographically, or did they want to do more and cover more ground?
Actually, that's a couple of interesting questions, Joe. In terms of the Knights Templar, what the Knights Templar wanted to do was they wanted to travel to the ends of the earth. And in their mind, at the point when they came to North America, because they developed a strategic relationship with the North American, the Algonquin Nation, what a lot of people don't realize is the larger Algonquin Nations extended all the way from the eastern seaboard all the way to the foot of the Rockies and the Blackfoot Indians. And so they essentially wanted to travel to the ends of the earth to establish the New Jerusalem. I don't know if that answers both of your questions at that point.
Joe, did you get your answer? I think we lost Joe. All right. If you know where the treasure is, William, I mean, there are other high-ranking officials in the Knights Templar and in the Masons who also may be able to break the code. Will they also know where it is, or are you the only one?
No, as far as I know, Richard, I'm the only one. I've been able to because... Hello?
Hi, you're still with us.
Yes.
Hello,
sorry,
can you hear me?
I don't know what that was. Somebody must have hit a number or something. Probably Joe leaving, but because of my family background, because of the clues that I've been able to uncover, because of really a lifetime of research, I, as far as I know, have been the only one who's been able to crack clues and identify exactly where the sacred vault lies.
And are you able to give us even a little clue? Like, is it in the desert? Is it under a building?
No, it's in a mountain range, actually. A mountain range that contains, interesting enough, I speculated that it was the site of King Solomon's lost gold mines. And it's been confirmed to me over the last 4 years by a specific gold mining company that...
Is that your phone?
The largest unmined gold deposit in the world lies there to this day. So the summation would be that the Knights Templar wanted to establish a new location for a temple. And in order to build that temple, you would require three elements: gold, stone, and timber. And the location that I identified, there's all three in vast quantities.
So if you were to go there, I mean, is it on private property, or would you have access to it?
No, it's actually a national property. It's a national forest in the United States. I would have access, and I've gone to its location. The question would be, is would I be able to dig to the point? Sorry, Richard, I don't know who's doing that.
Are you sure you're not ordering a pizza, William?
could be the Russians, but or the Vatican, but no, I'm not ordering up a late night pizza either.
Okay. I just wondered if maybe you inadvertently hit the dial button. Anyway.
No, I haven't done anything.
Now, okay, so I think you may have alluded to this earlier, but let me ask you again, just for clarification. Who would own the treasure if you were to uncover it?
Well, that's a good question. I think the Vatican would lay claim to it. A number of the New World Order families in Europe would lay claim to it. A number of other families associated with the Knights Templar, Freemasonry itself, Knights Templar, and probably a number of governments.
So there would be quite a legal...
Who would have claim to that?
I think that is... Right. I think the Vatican
thing.
Is trying to jam our program. All right, let's say hi to Carol on the wildcard line, who is trucking in Indiana. Carol... Welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to say, Mr. Mann, I want to thank you so much for the courage to come on the air with the book that you have just written at a night like this throughout America, when we are having such chaos and everyone is pointing fingers in the wrong direction.
Well, thank you very much, Carol. That makes me feel wonderful. I would agree with you. On a night like this, unfortunately, the world is in a chaos, and there's a lot to be learned maybe from the lessons that the night... Again, I don't know who's intervening into our conversation, but I apologize for that. But
that's all right.
Yes, so, on a night like this, it's unfortunate what organized religion and other political forces have attributed to the unrest that we see across America.
Well, yes, I agree.
I thought tonight we could provide a nice respite from all of that chaos.
Are you there?
Go ahead, Carol.
Oh.
Yes, go ahead.
My grandfather was a 32nd degree Freemason. I was taught from a very young age about Freemasonry and about, ironically enough, about the Chariot of Fire, the, the Merkava.
Yes.
And I am a student of Dronvalo Melchizedek.
Really?
And yes,
that's
and I want to say, I have done the research on the Merkava, and I want to I'm about to release my own book about the connection between the Merkava and biblical connection, and my message, I feel that the Most High has given me to speak to your inner circle, is that you need to look at this connection, because you can actually trace it back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you look at...
All right, Carol, thank you for that. William, perhaps, William, you could enlighten us for those of us who are not initiated into Freemasonry. What is Carol referring to here?
Sorry, say that again, Richard.
For those of us who are not Masons, maybe you could explain what Carol was talking about, the Merkava.
Well, the Kabbalah is, there's certain associations, obviously, that speaks to, I have a feeling that Joe's still, his line is still open there. But parts of Freemasonry speak to, especially within the 32 degrees of Scottish Rite Masonry, to the balance of good and evil, to the introduction or a journey of light associated with the Tree of Life. And it's interesting that you mentioned Oak Island. Oak Island, in many ways, is associated with the a journey towards the Kether or Crown of Light. And they've tried to associate that with a number of the clues that they found on Oak Island itself.
Kabbalah, my apologies. I thought she said Merkava, so I wasn't familiar with that. The Kabbalah I know about. All right, east of the Rockies, he's not east of the Rockies. He's west of the Rockies. Roger is in Oregon. Roger, good morning. Welcome to Coast. You're on the line with William Mann.
Good morning.
Hello, Roger. Yes, go ahead.
I want to remain anonymous, my name and phone number, but my last name is Pike. And all the understanding I have, and it goes quite back quite far, I'm 75 years old, the treasure was placed on Mount Nebo. That's the information I have. I don't know if that fits in with what you're doing or anything, but all of the information we have is on Mount Nebo in Arkansas.
And where is Mount Nebold?
In Arkansas.
Well, there's it's what's really interesting about that, Roger, is that the legends and a number of stories speak to Mount Nemo, but it's the Mount Nemo of the Bible. And I find the Knights Templar have left many a false trails. And as you say, Mount Nemo in Arkansas, a lot of people associated that with the location of the Templar treasure, but I can tell you that that's misleading in itself.
Well, you probably know better than I
do. All right, Roger, thank you for that. Thank you for the call. I want to come back to Albert Pike, if I could, Bill. And so much has been suggested about him being a Luciferian. Obviously not the first time you've heard this. And disabuse us of that, if you could. Was Albert Pike a Luciferian?
No, not at all. Not at all. There, from the earliest times, the church has disseminated false information about the Templars themselves. And it continued all the way through Pike. It's continued even to this day that there's anti-Masonic movements that that claim that Masons are a variety of things. This whole thing about worship of the devil is absolutely false and incorrect. Much like the earlier medieval Knights Templar were accused of worshiping Baphomet, the devil himself. Our incarnation of the devil. So I want to dissuade the people from following that path. That's just utter nonsense.
And where does that come from? Does it come from a passage in Morals and Dogma?
No. Well, not at all. Not at all. It comes from earlier generations. This whole notion, as I say, Prince Philippe and the Pope at the time, Pope Clement, conspired to accuse the Knights Templar of a number of things. So, of course, if you're studying ancient cults, spirituality associated with a number of things, the whole question of Lucifer and the devil itself would come into context, but it's only within the context of ancient cults and religions.
But what is Morals and Dogma all about? I mean, I know that it's an important book for
Morals
Masons.
Morals and Dogma is just an explanation of all the ancient religions, spirituality, and other notions associated with the 32 degrees of Scottish Rite.
And the fact that he was, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, that he was pro-slavery, does that, for you personally, does that taint his legacy, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Well, it's interesting. I've spent a lifetime studying Pike himself, and what it does is it really presents this whole enigma, but it also explains, I think, Pike spent 30 years after the Civil War looking to redeem himself, to redeem what he considered to be his earlier sins. And what it suggests is that Pike was a man of reconciliation, and you can reconcile your life spirit over a lifetime of study and reorganization, renewal, and that's part of history in itself.
And when he died, I believe he was buried against his wishes. He wanted to be cremated, correct?
Hello?
William? Hi there.
Yes,
can you hear me?
Speak up a little, please.
When Pike died, he was buried, I believe, against his wishes. Didn't he want to be cremated?
Yes. Again, there's a whole enigma associated with his death. He was buried in what's known as Oak Park Cemetery, and his remains were dug up and reinterred once the Washington Temple, Scottish Rite Temple, was built. And a lot of people don't realize that the Washington Temple was actually designed as his mausoleum or crypt. So he's
it's also interesting because he is
a demigod, but it's got
right. And is he? I'm not sure if I have this correct, but I believe he is the only person who's actually buried within, I guess it's the old city limits of Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, which is interesting in itself. And also the statue, which lies just outside the Washington Temple in downtown Washington, is in actual fact the only Confederate statue that really hasn't been desecrated or forced to be removed over the past 20 years.
Well, William, it was a fascinating couple of hours speaking with you. How do people get a copy of The Last Refuge of the Knights Templar?
Well, thank you very much, Richard. It's always interesting talking to you. And I always find that your questions always lead us down a number of pathways.
And quickly, how do we get a copy of the book, The Last Refuge of the Knights Templar?
You can get it through Amazon, you can get it through your local bookstore, Chapters Indigo, or you can get it through the publisher, Inner Traditions, at www.innertraditions.com.
All right, William, be safe, and happy treasure hunting, my friend. All right, William F. Mann. When we come back, demonologist Nathaniel Gillis.